I would appreciate any time that you get a catchy saying like this that would be something that could be grown into a sermon. I appreciate the help, because sometimes I think as a preacher, the biggest problem is finding a topic or something that gives you a springboard to go off of for a sermon. You kind of get the feeling like sometimes that you're being repetitive, and of course the Bible is repetitive and there's nothing wrong with that, but you kind of like to have something maybe in a new sense as far as something to go off of, and this was certainly a good thing. And I thought about a lot of times people talk, they say things that if they were in the presence of their children or small children, or if they were in the presence of, like me, I've got 6 grandchildren, if I were in their presence, would I say those things, or would I catch myself and say, you know, that's something that I shouldn't be saying, because I'm in the presence of innocent little children who's going to hear those things, and maybe it will cause them to be somewhat corrupted or something that they might turn around and repeat. There's been some songs that's been sung about how the little guy, when he lost his drink and his french fries, he said a 4-letter word, as y'all, most of you have heard, and the fellow realized that the things that he was saying in the presence of his little boy was repeating. So oftentimes we'll filter and we'll be real careful when we're around children not to say anything maybe that we wouldn't care at all to say in front of more adults, in the presence of more adults. Well, the point is, if it's something that you wouldn't want to say in front of an innocent little child, it may be something that don't need to be said, period. And I think there's a very good lesson in that. And as I thought about that, I thought, yeah, that's definitely me, because sometimes I might say something that wouldn't be appropriate, that I wouldn't dream of saying in front of those little kids. Well, it's not those little kids that's going to judge me. Yeah, I might distort their thinking or cause them to say something that they shouldn't, but I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And there's been a lot said in the Bible, and as I talked about a little bit this morning, when we learn to control our thinking, the things that proceed out of our mouth will indicate what our thinking is, and we'll just do a better job at not saying things that we just shouldn't say. Maybe that are not beneficial to anyone, that they're not edifying to anyone, that they're not encouraging to anyone. And I think this little slide that I run across some time back, it came back to my mind as being one that would be beneficial. You see that baited hook there and that fish, and he's got his mouth kind of really shut to his bottom lips coming up over his top lip there, and it says sometimes it pays to keep your mouth shut. And if you think about the idea of that baited hook there with that big juicy worm on it and that fish sitting there thinking about, contemplating that, he's pretty smart in keeping his mouth shut, isn't he? He realized that there might be a time when it'd just be better to keep your mouth shut. And we also have to be reminded that sometimes, as much as we want to say something, as much as we want to voice our opinion, as much as we've got something that we think our 2 cents worth is really needed, we might just be better off not to say anything. I had an uncle one time, me and some of my brothers were sitting around a table, and we were discussing scriptures, and he told me afterwards, I don't say that to pat myself on the back, but it also stuck out in my mind. He said, you can tell the maturity of a Christian a lot of times by the things that they don't say more so than the things that they do say, in the timing oftentimes, who you're amongst. And that's not to say we're to muffle the gospel and never speak up. I would be hypocritical if I was to say that, because I've been telling us we got to get engaged, we got to get involved, and you can't sit on the sidelines when wrongdoing is going on and not do anything, because we have that responsibility as Christians. So knowing the right time when we should speak up, I think, is part of our discipline and part of us our getting our thinking right as far as Christians. And again, once you get the thinking right, I think, and pray to God that He would help you to know what to say and when to say it, that it would be beneficial to people, and your motives and your intentions are right, then more than likely the things that you say are going to be glorious to God, and they're going to be things that edify and build up rather than to tear down. And again, just remember that sometimes it's like this old fish here, that it might just pay to keep your mouth shut and not say anything. But that's not all the time. Our words display who we are and what's in our hearts, as we kind of related to this morning in the lesson. You know, once we get our hearts right, our words will be right. But until we get our hearts right, there's liable to be anything come out of our mouth, because our heart is revealing what's in it. It reveals our real character. It tells us what's really inside of us. James 3:9 points out how inconsistent we are in our speech. The tongue we praise our Lord and Father with, the same tongue we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. From the same mouth come praise and cursings. We say these things out of the same mouth. And again, the message that's sending to God is I can praise you one minute, one day, and the next day I can have cursings, cursing other people or being harshly critical of other people. And there's a difference in being having constructive criticism and being harshly critical of someone else, as if to be arrogant and exalt yourself to the point that you're belittling them because of something that they've said or done. And we know, again, oftentimes constructive criticism is needed. And we would be less than a Christian if we didn't try to help our brothers and sisters in Christ and try to help to build them up and to tell them, you know, this might be a better way to approach that. I've had a lot of people to do that for me over my years, and I appreciated that. There was times I may not have appreciated as much right when they done it as I should have, but later on I realized the wisdom and that effort that they were making to say, you know, do it like this, or say it like this, or go to that scripture, and don't be so condemning, or don't have such harsh criticism. And again, we need to realize that every word that we speak, it has effect on those that are in the sound of it. And again, think about our first slide, or our second slide there, the idea that if it's something that we wouldn't want to say in front of children, because their children are sweet, they're pure, they're innocent, maybe it's something we just don't need to say at all. And of course, you know, there's the saying, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. So when we get our hearts right, we get our minds thinking right, and there's not all these bad things going round and round in our mind, and more likely the things that we project out of our mouth will be those things that'll be good for the edification. So this scripture I found over in Proverbs 18:21. Can't already talk tonight. Very clearly points out the power that we have within our tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It couldn't be said any more plainer, could it? I can't add anything to the plainness of that scripture. And those who love it will eat its fruit. And as I looked at commentaries on this verse, you know, there was an indication there that we need to understand. In courtroom situations today, if you was to be a false witness, if you was to use your mouth to lie, to be a false witness against somebody, that could be a situation where it could cause somebody's life to be altered or changed, or in a murder case, it could be where they could be put to death. And think about how that when we say things, the importance that it could cause to other people. Are we trying to create death? Are we trying to create life? Are we using it for the glorification of God, our tongues? Because it can do both, and we've all heard people that do both. Not, I'm not talking about out of the same mouth, but we've heard people that are always edifying, they're always encouraging, they're always building you up. And then you heard people that's always condemning, they're always damning, if you will, someone else and what they're doing and what they're saying and being critical. And again, those thoughts come out of the heart. And those are negative thoughts. And I kind of talked about that a little this morning. It's easier to have negative thoughts than it is positive thoughts. And I think we have to work at having the positive thoughts, seeing the positive things in other people that we come in contact with, and building up on those things. You know, any of us could be critical of someone else. We could want to be someone who would just beat someone down and tear them down all the time and never pat them on the back and say, you know, you've done a really good job at that. I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. I want to encourage you to keep on doing the good things that you're doing. Or we can be the person that uses our tongue to cause more like death, and that we're killing someone a little bit at a time just by the things that we say, that we don't say anything positive. Husband and wives can be that way. I've known situations where the husband would be so negative that the wife felt that she could never please him. And no matter what she done, it was always could have been a little bit better. The cooking could have been better. You could have done a little bit better with this. You could have done a little bit better with the house cleaning. You could have done a little bit better with that. And it's just like it's beating them down. It's causing them to become discouraged to even quit trying. And it can happen amongst brothers and sisters in Christ too. So we need to realize that within our tongue we have the power to add life, or we have the power of death. And this also means, as commentaries pointed out, it can cost me my soul if I choose to use the wrong words. It can cost me my soul if I don't recognize that, and if I don't make that right, it can cost me my soul, and that would be death. Not both, but spiritual death. So we need to be reminded of that, I think, from time to time, the power that we have in our tongue. We have the power to build up, or we have the power to tear down. And James expounds on that, as we're going to look at a little bit more. A verse that kind of goes along with this is in Matthew chapter 12, and beginning in verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Again, where does that start at? It starts in the intellectual heart of a Christian. And it says in verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. We need to be careful about the words that we choose, isn't there? Christ here says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Can the things that we choose to say help us be justified in the sight of God when he extends his mercy to us for salvation? Well, sure, that's what the Bible says here. Can the things that we say help us to be condemned by God? Certainly says it, does it, in verse 37. So our words need to be chosen wisely. And you know, there's something to be said about jesting, and I think clean jesting, I don't think that God would be frownful on that. We need to be happy, and we need to be rejoiceful, as long as it's clean and it stays clean and it's on something that's building up or something that is beneficial. It may even sometimes make a valid point about something, then that's one thing. But when it gets on the negative side and it starts being about something that's not godly or spiritual, then yes, it's wrong. This little chart here shows some of the things that the tongue is capable of doing that the Bible condemns. I'm going to look at these scriptures a little bit more in depth, or part of them anyway. Lying is Revelation 21 and verse 8. Cursing, Ephesians 4:29. Boasting, 1 Corinthians 13:4. Crude joking, Ephesians 5. Deceit, Romans 3:13. When we use our mouth to deceive someone, whatever it's about, then it's wrong. Gossip. Gossip is a common problem, isn't it? People get led into talking about, and I thought about that hook there a while ago with that fish. Sometimes I might not be a person that would say anything, and then somebody around me starts talking, and then the next thing you know, I feel like I've kind of been baited in, just like that hook, to where I'm talking and I'm fueling the fire and I'm saying things where I might not would have said anything, or I might be the person that leads that going away. So we have to be conscientious of the fact that people are watching and listening, and we may be the person that's influencing, and if we start saying something that maybe shouldn't be said, then everybody else might just get on board, and that's kind of how gossip goes, isn't it? Well, you know, I heard this, and don't know that there's any facts to it, but, you know, I heard this, and somebody else might kick in a little 2 cents worth, and next thing you know, it's a bad thing. Foolish talk, Ephesians 5:4 again addresses that. Obscene talk, Colossians 3:8, we have to be careful about the things that we say as Christians. 1 Corinthians 13:4 goes to that harsh criticism, and 1 Corinthians 13:4 related to already about boasting, and that scripture, as we know, that whole chapter is about love and charity and extending that towards our fellow man, and not being someone who's constantly criticizing. False teaching, that's a big one. You know, we can use our tongue to teach falsely, to teach things that are not revealed in the scriptures. That's in Titus 1:10 and 11. crooked speech over in Proverbs 4:24, to use our speech crookedly, or to gain filthy lucre, to be crooked in our speech. Ephesians 4:31, evil speaking, saying things of an evil nature. Matthew 12:36 is the scripture I just referred to. Careless words, not thinking about the effect that the thing that we're saying might have on someone around us. We can never safeguard the things that we say or our tongues too closely. James 3 says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of the horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by such a small spark. And again, I think James just puts a lot of emphasis on the damage that we can do if we're not careful with our tongue, with the things that we say, with the things that we let come out of our heart. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it in itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But notice this, no human being can tame the tongue. It is as a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And he uses all these parallels here, these illustrations to say, you know, whenever you're professing to be a Christian and you're praising God one minute and you're cursing someone the next minute, then it's kind of a misrepresentation of who you are. It's hard to know who you are. It's also saying that you're a person that is maybe hypocritical, because one minute you're saying these kind, loving things and the next minute you're saying these harsh, critical things and being condemning of someone. And he makes the illustration of how you can't get salt water from a freshwater spring. And he makes these other illustrations of how you can't get one kind of fruit from a different kind of fruit tree. So what kind of fruit are we bearing? And we need to know that. And Matthew, just before the scriptures where I read there in verse 35, he talks about that you're either a good tree that's bearing forth good fruit, or you're a corrupt tree that's bearing forth corrupt fruit. So we have to realize that our tongue can do so much damage. And I think when we're Christians and we go to church and we worship God, we probably do more damage because everybody's watching. Just as James pointed out, it's not just preachers. Yes, preachers are more watched, and they're strictly criticized. And he says in the King James Version that our condemnation will be worse, and I think that's by man and by God, because people expect a lot if you stand in these pulpits. But the fact is we all can do damage with our tongues. It doesn't just have to be a preacher. Revelations 21 and 8, it says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. Again, what can we do with our tongue? We can be a liar, can't we? They will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death, and that's when you're cast into eternal hell. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And I want to emphasize again that sometimes constructive criticism is needed. And I've had many, many people to approach me and give me constructive criticism that was good for me. It helped me. Oftentimes in school, school teachers have to be somewhat critical to get the point across to the child that this is where you need to change what you're doing. You need to do it this way because this is the correct way to do it. And we can all be corrected. If it's done in the right way, we'll receive it the right way, and it'll be good for us. but real harsh criticism, tearing down, doing it behind someone's back, going around telling everybody but the one that needs to be told, it doesn't do any good. It's just a bad thing, and it's something that tears down rather than builds up. The scripture that we talked about, 1 Corinthians 13:4, says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud." Something else that we can do negatively with our tongue is be a boastful, proud person, to where we seem to come off as arrogant to the people around about us. Chris and I was having a little discussion after church there, you know, when we was talking about the idea of where a sinner can talk to God or pray to God, and I made the point that I think that God would rather have a humble sinner as to have an arrogant Christian. And Chris said, we kind of maybe hit the nail on the head there with that. You know, you can be an arrogant person and be a Christian, and that wouldn't be pleasing to God, and it wouldn't be something that would help other people to grow in their spiritual maturity, would it? So someone who has humility accomplishes great things. Someone who is boastful and proud and arrogant, they usually cause problems rather than build up. Ephesians 5:4, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of the place, but rather thanksgiving. Romans 3:13, their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asp is under their lips. This is not what we want to be as Christians, is it? This is not the kind of people that we want to project to the world that we are. Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and notice whisperers or gossipers. That's a hard word to say there. But anyway, we need to know that these things are things that are condemning towards us by God. And to use them, they're just not beneficial in any way. So again, remember, we can bring forth death with our tongue, or we can bring forth life. Ephesians 5:4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Colossians 3:8, but now ye also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communication out of your mouth. We need to think about the things that we say, the things that we let our heart project to those that we come in contact with. And again, if it's something that shouldn't be said in front of little children, it's probably something that shouldn't be said, period. 1 Corinthians 13:4, yeah, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, and it is not puffed up. Again, that's the idea of being long-suffering to those who we might be trying to lead to Christ. You know, sometimes we can really become impatient. We can become people that want to be a little bit more critical maybe than someone is deserving of, and we can really get down on their case. And then you think about Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, while we were yet messing up. He went to Calvary's cross and died that cruel death on Calvary's cross. So be careful about not having some long suffering about you when it comes to dealing with those who maybe are babes in Christ, or maybe they, for some reason or another, they haven't grown spiritually. Maybe they've been in church for a long time. Maybe they've been exposed to spiritual things for a long time, but they're not growing. They're not maturing. Again, it's very easy for those who have done well in their spiritual growth to become a person that might be puffed up a little bit and maybe parades that a little bit. So we have to be careful about not becoming arrogant, someone who would really be harsh, critical of someone else. And I know, again, all lessons that I preach are for me as much as anyone inside of these four walls. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. And again, Titus points out these idle talkers and the bad things that they're doing. Says that they're idle talkers and they're deceivers. Again, these are things that we can do, we can be capable of doing with this fleshly tongue that we have. And he says their mouths must be stopped because they're subverting whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. You know, we have to realize that our tongue can be used for the glorification of God, or it can be used for the condemning of ourselves and someone else. We have to realize that, and people are watching. When we wear the name Christians, they're watching, they're examining every word that we say, and they're checking us to see if we're saying things that might be tearing someone else down. So just be conscientious of that. And I think if we work on getting our hearts pure, and myself again included in this, then we'll say the things that are pure and honest and good always. And then when we do have to use constructive criticism, we'll do it with the right motive and intent, that we want nothing but the best for those who's being addressed. You may be here this evening and have never become a Christian. We're going to give you the opportunity to do that. They say, it's been said that the Lord gives you two ears and one mouth for a reason. That kind of goes along with our lessons, so that you can hear more than you speak. I heard, I think it was on Magnum P.I. probably 30 years ago, he said, there was a wise old owl that said in an oak, the more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. And that is what made him a wise old bird. And I thought about that, just stuck in my mind. I don't usually remember stuff real well, but that one stuck in my mind really good. And I thought, boy, that could really be applicable to me. I could probably learn a lot more if I'd spend more time listening instead of talking. But with all that said, there is a reason that we can hear the Word of God. And we must believe, as the Scripture tells us in several Scriptures that we've quoted time and time again, and we must be willing to repent. And then what's a good thing that we can do with our tongue? We can make that good confession of faith that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And we can become a child of His, and we can become a worker in His vineyard. And then we'll start purifying, working on our heart. We'll start watching the things that we say and the things that we do. And of course, we have to be buried in that watery grave of baptism to be raised up to walk in newness of life. You may have done this in the past, but for some reason or another, you realize that you've slipped back into the world, the way that the world talks, the way that the world communicates, the things that the world says. You may be guilty of that. If you're here this evening and you've done that and you know that you're away from the forward safety of God, come forth that we can pray for you and with you, so that you can take up your rightful place among God's people. If we can help you or assist you in any way, we ask you come as together we stand and as we sing.